Well, good afternoon, everyone. I am going to now call this meeting to order. This is the August 17, 2022 hearing of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include appeals of administrative decisions. That's what we have on the agenda for today. I'll consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. The hearing process has certain rules, but I'll try. There's only three of us here today, so I'll obviously try to be more relaxed and informal, but we still have a process we're going to use. First of all, staff will present their report, make whatever recommendations that they wish to make. Next, the applicant, or the appellant in this case, will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The appellant does have the burden of proof to show error in the county's decision. The county may wish to make a reply, and because the appellant has the burden of proof, if there is a reply, the appellant will be given an opportunity to submit the last testimony and evidence in this matter. When you do testify, I'll have you unmute yourself. I'll have you state your name and address. I'll swear you in as a witness. I can tell you what I generally ask is, what do you want to tell me about this project? I'll make sure that you are the appellant. This is not a question and answer period. This is a time for you to present your testimony and evidence as to why the county's decision was improper. So you need to understand that also. This is not a time, there is no public testimony at this hearing. Of course, the appellant can call witnesses, but there's no general public testimony at an appeal hearing between the county and the appellant. If you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, we can make those arrangements. I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. My decision is final and conclusive unless it is appealed. Appeals are by means of a land use petition action. They have to be filed within 21 days of the issuance of my decision. And if an appeal is not timely filed, the appeal would be barred. Bottom line is that if you're considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you should seek immediate legal advice. I reviewed the item on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in the property or other proposal to be heard today, and I will be able to fairly and objectively consider this item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for this item and all the attachments to the staff report, which included the denial letter, the appeal letters, the amended appeal letters, there's photographs, there's an updated staff report, all of the documents relied upon by the county in making their decision. Other than receiving and reviewing essentially the entire planning staff file, I've not had any communication regarding this item that's on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is an objection to my serving as the hearing examiner, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. Okay, hearing none, we'll turn to the item on today's agenda. First of all, there's two items. AA21-251 and AA21-386, they were noted for hearing today. I received an email from the appellant's attorney indicating that the appeals had been withdrawn. So just for the record, these AA21-251 and AA21-386 are hereby stricken from the hearing. So we'll turn to AA22-280. This is an administrative appeal regarding the denial of a short-term rental permit as an existing non-conforming short-term rental, and the basis being the inadequate parking as required by the Chelan County Code. For the record, I will admit into the record at this time by this reference the original staff report and the updated staff report, the original appeal and the amendment to the appeal. There are photographs. There is the denial letter. I will admit all those items. Indeed, I'll admit the entire planning staff file for this matter into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you. Property in question today is located at 1476 South Lakeshore Road in Chelan. Applicant submitted materials to apply for an existing non-conforming short-term rental December 28, 2021. They were granted a provisional STR permit March 4, 2022, pending full review. Chelan County Code 1188290, Section 4DII, states that application for or issuance of any provisional short-term rental permit does not guarantee future issuance of a short-term rental administrative land use permit under subsection 4. The provisional permit is intended to be temporary and is only in effect while the department reviews all permit applications for compliance with Chelan County regulations, including this chapter, for the 21-22 permit years before issuance or denial of issuance of a short-term rental administrative land use permit. The single 4DII provision ceases to exist December 31st, 2022. Chelan County Code 1190060 required off-street parking specifically states that for Tier 1, 2, and 3 short-term rentals, the required off-street parking is one space per bedroom rented. Code 1188290, Section 3CI, states that they must provide residential parking that is not located within a setback and not within any recorded access easement consistent with the provisions of Chapter 1190. This rental is requesting to rent 5 bedrooms, which would require 5 parking spaces. The parking indicated in the owner's application is within the setback area, and one of the spaces is not on the parcel. June 30th, 2022, a letter was sent to the applicant notifying them of the denial of final permit for existing non-conforming status. On July 5th, the administrative appeal AA22280 was filed with Chelan County Community Development with the associated application fees. The appellant stated in his appeal document that his parcel has 5 total parking spaces. One space is located on the parcel next door at the address of 1492 South Lakeshore Road. The county did not consider this space as it is not on his parcel as required above. The other 4 spaces the appellant indicates he had constructed by Smith Construction in Cashmere. All 4 of these spaces lie within the front yard setback area, which is prohibited by the short-term rental code. Staff followed up with Chelan County Public Works on permitting. They had no record of such permit being given for the specified parking. Public Works did note that portion of South Lakeshore Road where this property lies has been owned by Washington State Department of Transportation since 2008. Staff did follow up with WSDOT, who also found no record of any permitting or permission for this work in either of their paper or digital records. Staff had also requested a copy of the permit for the owner and nothing had been provided. Staff recommends the denial be upheld based on the applicant not meeting parking requirements.
All right, thank you very much. In a second, I'm going to finish a note here.
I have been able to join you.
Okay, fine. Just a second. I need to finish some notes here. Okay. So, sir, you weren't here at the start of the hearing. You just joined right now.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'll go back and let you know a couple of things about the hearing process.
Thank you.
You have the burden of proof to show that the county's decision was an error. The county's made their introduction. You'll now be given an opportunity to present your testimony and evidence. There's no public participation, and this is not a question and answer period. This is a time for you to submit any testimony and evidence that you have regarding the county's decision. If you do testify, then I'm going to swear whoever testifies, I'll swear you in as a witness. I generally just make sure that you are the appellant and ask you, what do you want to tell me about this? And then leave the door wide open for whatever you want to tell me about your appeal. My decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. But my decision is subject to an appeal. The appeal is by means of what's called a land use petition action that has to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if an appeal isn't timely filed, the appeal would be barred. As I tell everyone, if you're considering an appeal of my decision, you should seek immediate legal advice. I also stated on the record that I don't have any interest in your property or this proposal, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider this item. And then outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report, along with all the attachments to the staff report, there's an updated staff report, there's your appeal materials, there's your amended appeal materials, there are photographs that have been submitted, there's the denial letter. Other than receiving and reviewing essentially the entire planning staff file, I've not had any communication regarding this item. Finally, I admitted into the record those items I just discussed. I admitted into the record the staff report, the updated staff report, your appeal, your amended appeal, the photographs that were provided, the denial letter, and the materials that were relied upon by the county in generating their denial. And I then just admitted into the record the entire planning staff file just to make sure that I covered everything and I didn't miss anything. I also ask, based upon my representations about the appearance of fairness and my having no communications with anybody and not having any interest in the property, if there's any objection to my serving as the hearing examiner. So I'll give you that opportunity to object if you think there's a reason for me not to preside over this hearing.
No, we have no problems with your residing over the hearing.
All right. So which one of you wants to testify first?
I will do that, I believe. Is that okay, hon?
And all right. I'll have you state your name for the record and then an address. It just can be an address. And then I'm going to swear you in as a witness.
I'm David Longenecker. I am the owner of the property at 1476 South Lakeshore Road, Chelan, Washington. Although I reside at 1165 Bluestem Trail, Lafayette, Colorado.
All right, sir, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. And sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. Mr. Longenecker, what would you like to tell me?
Okay, a couple of things that I'll mention just are points of fact and then where we think we have a difference of opinion between your staff or the staff, the county staff, and on the decision regarding parking. And I'll give it to you from our perspective. First, let me just give you a little history. We've owned the home that we seek to use as a short-term rental since 2000, which is when my dad's had passed away, and when it was an inheritance from him at that time. We have essentially operated it as a rental, summer rental, since that time. Most of the people who come in were people who used to come in to my folks' resort, which was next door. And I have the family house. And when my folks passed away, my older sister got the property and she built a new home on that. And then all the people who had come for years in our resort didn't have a place to go. So we selected some that were good folks that we liked a lot and let them stay in our place a week at a time during the summer. We operate only in the summer and we charge enough to cover taxes and insurance and maintenance. We never have made more than $5,000 or $6,000 a year on the property. That's just a little history. In 2017, we realized that we should get more parking. We did have one spot, which the staff have indicated is not a legitimate spot, but in fact it is. When my sister built her new house in 2000, she was going to put a parking area in, and she asked us at that time if we would like to have that extended onto our property to include a spot for us to park in at our expense. And so that spot is on our property, and we paid for it and we own it. It is not the next door neighbor's, it is ours as part of that development. So that spot we had, but it became obvious that we needed more parking. And our people were sort of parking on the edge of the highway as much as they could off of the easement, but not comfortably off the easement. So we, in 2019, contracted with Smith Excavation in Kashmir to build a parking lot that would provide ample parking for our folks. And we put had it big enough to put in four cars at diagonal parking, which is the safest way for parking in that particular area, because when you back out, you can back onto the easement without having to get onto the highway. And you can't, and you're, it's not convenient to actually back out and across the highway, which is what most people, that's what we did before, quite frankly, before we had diagonal parking. So it was, we felt it was the safest way to go. And we looked at all, we didn't go to the codes, quite frankly. We checked to see what our neighbors had done, and we put in something very similar to them. In retrospect, as we got into this discussion, I did discover the county's code on off-street parking. And it turns out ours is compliant with that that provision. For the 60 degree, we have plenty of space for those. And the pictures that I sent show that the cars can be parked without being on either the easement or the highway, entirely on our property. Now, there was something in an email we got yesterday that suggested somehow that might not be the case because of some state requirements. That's certainly news to us, and I didn't find that anywhere in the county codes. When we applied for the short-term rental applications in December, we submitted all of our information, and everything we read suggested that we would have to have five parking spaces if we had five bedrooms, and we had that. So we were under every impression that we were compliant with the law. And we spent a great deal of money. Well, from our perspective, it was, I think, $22,000 we spent in 2019 to have that parking area created. The provision that is referred to that essentially requires a 55-foot and a 25-foot variances applies to dwellings and not to, there's no reference whatsoever in that to parking areas. It does speak about front yards. Well, the front yard of our house begins about 70 to 80 feet from the highway, so that's not a problem. I don't know where the parking association with that comes in, because it's not referenced in the code. And where, if you were in our position and you were looking for the code on what was necessary, wouldn't you look at the section called off-street parking as opposed to one that talks about dwellings that are under construction? The house that we're talking about was built by my father in 1957. I grew up there. We've owned that house since that period of time in the Longenecker family. It just doesn't seem right what's going on. And I think the other point, and I'll just mention it because I don't know the language all the time, but when I talked about this with my family, one of my daughters is an attorney, she said, and this sounded an awful lot like detrimental reliance to her, that we had every reason to believe we were doing the right thing. And now we're told we aren't. And every time we come up with a good explanation, there seems to be something else that's then put on the table that suggests, no, we aren't in compliance. It just doesn't seem right.
All right. I have not heard anything that says that the parking is outside of any setback area.
Yeah, it's set back off of the pictures that I sent to you show that it is off of the highway. It's
greater than 55 feet from the center line?
No, and find the parking space isn't. There isn't anything we saw that said parking had to be 55 feet. The county's code on off-street parking says it has to be 22 feet, which it is.
All right, and just to let you know and let your daughter know, I don't know if she's the other Zoom person on here, I don't have authority to make rulings on matters in equity, which include things like detrimental reliance and things of that nature. So I just don't have that authority to make equitable remedies. So probably doesn't mean anything to you, but from a legal standpoint, it does make it.
Well, let's forget about detrimental reliance. If you were in my place and you went to a code that said off-street parking requires the following, and you made the measurements and found that yours was in compliance with that, wouldn't you think you were in compliance? I don't know where this 55 feet and 25 feet was never in anything we read when we were talking about going, and we went through the application religiously. I mean, that we did see one that requires that for a dwelling, but nothing related to parking or a front yard. It does refer to front yard. You have to have your front yard at least 25 feet or 50 feet, but not anything in there refers to parking. The statute is very clear. Let me read it to you. And I would also mention that if we're out of compliance, just about all of our neighbors are.
Well, this is a short-term rental issue, just so that you're aware of that.
Well, I don't know, but somewhere that has to come into, there wasn't anything in the short-term rental codes per se that had the 55 and the 25 feet. I could never find that. We both have scoured that. The only place you can find that is in, and it's in fact referred to, is in 1116020, which says specifically refer to setbacks of the front yard of the residential unit. It doesn't say this, but it does not refer to off-street parking. It says the front yard, quote, front yard, 25 feet from the property line or 55 feet from the street line, center line, whichever is greater. We exceed those by a huge amount. But there's nothing there, no code there that makes any reference whatsoever to parking. But there is the county's code on off-street parking, and we're compliant with that. And we've got plenty of that for the five places. Now, if we were just the residents, we'd only need one of those. That's the county code. But in fact, we recognize that we need five. We've got five safe parking spaces compliant with the county's off-street parking loads. These 25 and 55, that was news to us when we got the notice in June, in late June. And we've read the code, and the code makes absolutely no reference to parking. It's actually, if you read it, it's talking about if you're going to build a house, you have to make sure it's at least 25 feet from the easement or 55 feet from the center line. You can't build a dwelling in any closer than that. You have to have at least that amount from the middle line to the beginning of where your house is. So you got some front yard, but it makes no reference whatsoever to parking. And yet I go to the codes and I find the code that says off-street parking. And we meet that requirement. And we did accidentally, in fact, because we had created the diagonal parking. If you take the 60 degree, which we did, we didn't generously take the 45 degree, we took the other and we made it. We meet those requirements. It seems like there's an effort here to basically prevent us from being a short-term rental. We've been a good participant in the community. I mean, hell, I grew up there. We've done everything we could. We intentionally, on our own, prior to this whole thing about short-term rentals, created a parking area so that our cars wouldn't be parked along the highway. And now it seems, well, it doesn't seem, we're being punished for having done the thing ahead of time. And with something that we just can't, I cannot read this. It's not that we're dolts. I can't read anything in this that suggests that 55 feet and the 25 feet applies to parking, except the determination of staff that's a requirement for parking. There's nothing in writing that says that applies to parking. But the code does, but the county does have code for off-street parking, and we're compliant with that. And the picture's there. You can see the picture that shows the car parked off of the easement and the highway. And I don't know what the new thing about the Washington State's piece is. I don't think they can take my property from me, but I'm not asking. You can tell where the easement is. They've got it paved to the easement, and we're off of that.
I have
a Do you comment. Want to testify that I need to have you state your name and your address, and then I'm going to swear you in as a witness okay. as well?
Yes, I would like to testify.
Okay, your name and address.
Mary Jane Longenecker, 1165 Blue Stem Trail, Lafayette, Colorado, 80026.
Okay, have you raised your right hand for me? You swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes. I do.
All right, thank you. And you are also one of the appellants and property owners today, correct?
Correct.
All right, now what did you want to tell me?
Well, a few minutes ago when Dave was making one of his comments, you mentioned, well, that's what short-term rentals, this applies to short-term rentals, not any other people. And I can understand that there would be some regulations that would affect owners of short-term rentals versus people who live full-time or who rent on a longer basis. But what I don't understand is what is the reasoning behind this particular issue, this parking issue, and the distance from the center line or the distance from the property line. It would seem if safety is the issue, the county would be as concerned about full-time residents as they are about short-term rentals. And I just would like some reference for what the rationale of this would be, even though I agree with Dave that we are within the limits. It seems like the committee who drew up these regulations might be looking to exclude people on little technicalities. So that's my comment. If you have an answer for that, I would love to hear it.
My job is not to answer your okay. questions. My job is to gather testimony and then to make a decision. I can tell you that the development of the short-term rental code took not days, not months, but years. And there was full participation by short-term
rental. Yeah, okay, rental. Great. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mike.
Mr. FMDRA, could you please mute yourself? But anyway, there was full participation by all segments of interested persons, including short-term rental operators, short-term rental businesses, members of the public, people who live next to short-term rentals. It was a very, very long and involved process that I was not involved with, but there is a legislative history that went through this and then led to the adoption of the short-term rental permit regulations in 2020. So
we understand that. And I would say, I mean, we've had extremely good, we've been served very well by the short-term rental staff, except for this one area. They've been very patient with us and very responsive to us throughout this entire process. But on this, it just plain, well, first of all, I would challenge you to find where, even in this writing, there is language, anything in the instructions for doing the administrative findings or in the code that they refer to that brings this 55 and 25 foot thing into effect for parking. It is in the code, the county code, for dwellings. But it is not there for parking structures. I mean, what we were putting up, and whether it's not relevant to this, but there's sort of a suggestion that this wasn't permitted. That's correct. I originally had said to Kirsten and others that I thought it was permitted, but it turns out it was not. And the reason wasn't, as Greg Smith told me, he said, we don't have to get a permit for a retaining wall if it's a small retaining wall under 5,000 square feet. That's right in the code, the permitting code. And so they didn't bother with the permit. They did get all the engineering done. If you'd like to see that, I can provide that for it. But they didn't get a permit because mostly because of time constraints, but not also because it wasn't necessary. So it just seems like when we would raise one issue and respond to that, there'd be another one sort of put up in front of us. And the most recent is this thing I couldn't quite understand with respect to the Washington Department of Transportation easements. By the way, if they did something in 2008, they certainly never notified us of it. And for 14 years, they've never mentioned anything of it.
All right, is there anything else from the appellants?
Let me just check and make sure from my notes that I've covered what I wanted to. I'm pretty sure we have. I mentioned the retaining wall is legitimate under, and that if you wanted the reference to it, is County Code 11-90.060. While detrimental reliance may not be your issue, it's a big issue in the state of Washington. And I think it probably could easily, we did everything. What it would suggest is that we'd done everything that logically good citizens should do. We weren't trying to get by. We aren't trying to get a party house on the lake. We're just trying to get the place that we'd like to rent for 10 weeks during the summer to friends, rental, reliably, and a legitimate rental. And we thought we'd done that. Put a great deal of money into putting in a structure that turns out to be consistent with county code. But for some reason, the county code for the ostensible county code that I could never find is different for short-term rentals than for regular folks, even though the one that is referred to, when we got this notice, the area that referred us to that was in fact 1190, no, that's a short-term rental. Was 1116025A. And if you read that, you won't find the word parking anywhere in that code. That's our case.
All right, thank you very much.
Great, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is there anything further from staff?
I don't think so, thank you.
Oh, and one thing I just hope it was made apparent, that's for the four places. The other one, the fifth one, is our property. It's not on a parcel next door. It was adjoining the parcel next door, but it is ours. We paid for it, it's ours.
So you have deed ownership of that area?
Yeah, we sure do. We've got deed that you can, you want to look at the property lines, it goes right up through that parking structure, and that was our deal. That made sense. It was my sister putting in this area. She didn't want what we were going to have next door, just sort of a drive on dirt drive-in thing with old tires as the retaining wall. She wanted to take all of that out. But is it okay if they did that, put in this thing, and we paid for the extension, and that made sense to us. But it's on our property.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Well, thank you for your consideration. Kirsten, I appreciate all that you've done for us. I disagree with you on this, but you guys have been very helpful to us throughout this process.
Thank you.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I've admitted into the record the documents I discussed earlier. I'm going to close the public record portion of the hearing at this time. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. I will look everything over very, very carefully, including the county's decision and the appeal arguments and facts that have been stated by the by the appellant, and I'll have a written decision made. As I indicated earlier, that decision is subject to an appeal by the county or by the appellant. So there are no other items that are on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this August 17, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. I hope hope you're having good weather in Colorado like we are here, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir, and thank you, Kirsten, for your work.
Thank you.
This meeting's adjourned.